Spirit of God, I thank you that you are in this place today. We thank you for the joy. We thank you for the celebration of all that we're hearing. We thank you for what you're doing through Birmingham City Church. This group of people that you've forged together that are impacting people's lives, even with the food bank that we've been listening about, Lord. We thank you for every person from the youngest to the eldest. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, we pray that you might come and help us this morning as we open up the Bible, your word, that you may speak into our life. In Jesus' name. At the end of my message, I'll be calling for prayer for people who would like to receive prayer today. Not only for prayer for sickness, but I'm going to be calling you, if you've come to church today and you do not know what Christianity is, but you know that you need, you may not know all the answers, but you do know that you need God in your life. Maybe somebody brought you today and you see in their life something that's not in your life. It's Jesus, my friend. And we are approaching into Holy Week. We are approaching into the greatest move of God ever, and that is our Good Friday, our Easter Sunday. And I want to give you an opportunity to come to know Jesus as your Lord, your Savior, your friend. Because we're going to be celebrating that Jesus came into this world, God came, sent his Son into this world, Jesus Christ, and was put to death on a cross. And 3 days later, rose again. Why? Because not even the power of death, not only the power of sin, but not even the power of death can hold back Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Jesus, who overcame the power of death, can overcome every difficulty that you are going through and every onslaught that is against your life. The enemy may come against you thick and fast, but Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, is your protector and your provider and the blesser of your life. And I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this talk to come forward. And we do have these packs that will give you some details and some information about people who come to know Jesus for the first time. But I also will be calling people forward this morning who do not know what's going on in their life, but by the end of the talk, you will realize that actually God is calling you to consecration. God is using a situation and a circumstance, no matter how difficult it might be, to bring you to your knees in the way of surrender before him. And also for those who have been so fearful of man, so intimidated by what people may say, have said against you, you may be have a neighbor who is trying to remove you from your house. I believe the Lord would say to you, stand firm. Do not be afraid of what your neighbor is trying to do and to dislodge you and cause you to run away, but to stand still, because God has not called you to the spirit of intimidation and the spirit of fear. But with God, with Jesus in your life, you can stand and overcome the voices of the enemy. And I am going to call those who feel a compassion and a longing for people who do not know Jesus, who are broken today outside of the church, and you want to come and say, will you pray for me? Because I want God to use me. And you're saying, here I am, use me. So in that context, if you do not know Jesus, you also come forward and we will give you a pack as we pray for you and lead you to Jesus. So here we are, Palm Sunday, and we join the whole of Christianity today, different time zones. And we thank God for this opportunity to join within the Easter story of when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, having set his face like flint. He knew what Jerusalem was going to be about. It was going to be about his death, about him laying his life down for the sins of the world, and 3 days later rising again and bringing all of what we know to be of salvation. There are characters through the Easter story which you, If you follow any kind of Bible reading plan or within the services that you'll see on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, one of the preachers may mention a man called Pilate. Pilate, Roman governor, lived in Caesarea on the western side of Jerusalem. Caesarea had this military base where the whole Roman garrison would be there. And every time there was a festival in Jerusalem, a Jewish festival, then Pilate would bring in his parade, would bring in his soldiers, his chariots, his horses, his banners. The banners would not be about him because he served Caesar and everybody should worship Caesar. The banners would say, Caesar is Lord, is the Son of God. And it was a declaration of the strength and the might of Rome. And they chose every festival because at the festival times, pilgrims would come into Jerusalem. They would have traveled for many miles, and some think there may have been a boost of maybe a million within the population in Jerusalem at the time of this particular festival, which was, as you know, Passover. And so Rome was coming in, just letting people know who is the boss, who is in control. That's the parade from the west. And on the east, beautifully read by two of our children this morning, is another parade. The Jesus parade. And I wonder which parade you and I would join if we lived at that time. Because we can be tempted to think what we need is strength of man, power of man, control of man, everything that this world can offer. We can think, if only my numbers just came up, if only I got that promotion, if only that happened to me, then I would be fine. We can put our trust in the things of the world and not the things of God. One of the kings of Israel who would use chariots, who would use horses, who was familiar with parades, was King David. He came to realize in his own life that the things of man are nothing compared to the things of God. And he would write in one of his Psalms 20, verse 7, some people, they trust in chariots and they trust in horses. And he knew those things. He knew, he used chariots. He used horses. There's nothing wrong with them in itself. But when you put your trust in those things, I don't do that anymore, King David says. King David says, I trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, I would imagine if I took a little straw a poll right now of who would, which parade would you be in? There's a lot of Christians here this morning. Are you a Christian? Give us a wave if you're a Christian. Yeah, 10. Okay. So I know who's who now. I didn't think you were a Christian. Just notice you didn't put your hand up. Confirms a lot of things. Carry on. I would guess that you and I would join the Jesus parade. That's the church coming down from Bethpage, Bethany, Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. And this in itself is a move of God into the city, ahead of the greatest move. I see with my eyes that there is, has been, and is still, in fact, a momentum here in BCC of a move of God. I see that. And I think there's still more. Amen? I think there are many, many people in the city who are yet to know Jesus. And I think God is going to use BCC as one of those, part of his church, to reach those people. With every move of the Holy Spirit in the life of God's people, there are cheers and there are fears and there are tears. And what you do, the response that you bring is determined by your soul. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, one of his letters, 1 Peter 2, he says this. He talks about waging war with your soul. Your soul is your intellect, your emotions, your will. And Peter gives us the understanding that those three things, part of our soul, are things that our spirit, our spirit that's been cleansed, sanctified, appointed, and directed by the Holy Spirit, is in direct contact with our lives through our spirit. But our soul needs to come into submission to our spirit. That's why Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why Jesus said, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. And today I want to say to you is this. Inside you, not what people see perhaps, but inside you, your soul needs to come into submission and into surrender to Jesus Christ. And as it does, then you will be led by your spirit and not by soulish responses. Are you with me? Coming down the hill, Mount Olives. Lots of celebration, lots of joy. Cheering, honoring Jesus, praising Jesus. And the gospel writers have different ways of declaring what they saw. Clothes were laid out. John, in his gospel, says, they started to wave palm branches. Now, these are amazing. I love the fact that as a church, you still give these out on Palm Sunday. This is amazing because it's so much part of the story. Yeah, these are crafted into a cross because for obvious reasons. But they would lay palm branches down and they were waving palm branches at Jesus. Why? Because at that time, it's the equivalent of the national flag of Israel. That gave us an understanding of what was going on in their mind when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. See, 200 years beforehand, as part of their history, is an amazing, powerful leader who would have come into the city with chariots and horses. A powerful leader, his name is Simon Maccabees, and he came into Jerusalem to retake the city from the enemy and cleanse the temple, interestingly so, and restored Jerusalem. That's very much in their history. And they came out to Jesus waving palm branches because that's what they did when Simon Maccabees got the victory. And it's in their mind, they did it because this is a celebration of military might, victory. Jesus is going to be that kind of savior for the city. In their minds, it's Hanukkah. And they forget, and they're misplaced. They're overcome with the joy, and they're misplaced because it's not Hanukkah, it's Passover, the festival of the Lamb. And Jesus, by the end of the week, these people waving the palm branches would be the people who are scorning him, who are sneering at him, and are seeing Jesus hanging on a cross as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Misplaced cheers. Within the crowd, There is a group of people who appear to be part of the crowd, but they're not. You see, you can be in the move of God and be not in the move of God. You can just attend BCC, but not be in the move of God. I mean, you can be in BCC, but actually, I don't know what the point is, because in your heart, you're rebuking the move of God. I'm sure that's not you. I'm just using you. Are you all right? I'm talking about another church. I know that you're holy. You do nothing wrong. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Rebuke them. Stop this move of God. Stop it. I remember I was in my first church. I was planting a church. My wife and I. And in 1995, New Year's Day, one of my failures of my life was the whole family gathered around the New Year's Day table. And I didn't realize until that moment that I had become intimidated and in fear of the man who owned the building, that he was a Christian by title, and I came under his fear. There was a move of God going on in our church. Lots of things were happening. There was a breakout of the Holy Spirit, and people were getting saved, and they were being delivered, and all kinds of things were happening. It was very, very exciting. I didn't realize I was so much under fear, because he called me and he said, I need to talk to you about this move of God. I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about what you say God is doing and the things that are happening in the church services. I don't like all this kind of stuff. I need to see you now. It's New Year's Day afternoon. Yeah, but I need to see you now. And at 2 o'clock, New Year's Day, 1995, my wife looks at me like, if you go, when you come back, I will kill you. And I weighed up all those things, and I thought, she may be lying. And I'm under great fear, and I went, and I spent 2 hours. It didn't do any good. It just wasted my time, but it pointed out to me that you and I can come under the fear of man in such a way that we will respond in a way that we're not proud of later on, and which we have to repent of. Do not be intimidated by anybody, whether they're your boss, your colleague, whatever, whoever it is, you know, don't be. Just stop it and come under and before God and fear him and fear him alone. Amen? I mean, don't be rude, but don't be afraid. Yeah, because rudeness is not nice either, you know. Kindness is underrated. I think we'd have more churches growing if it were just all kind, like BCC. Amen? Amen? There was a louder cheer in the first service, but I know I'm up against it in the second. I'm jesting, I'm joking, playing with you. Don't write in. Fear. And these Pharisees, these religious people who knew their scriptures, they knew religion. They were afraid. And their fear led them into offense. They were offended by the move of God. Why? Because it came out of their soulishness, of their fear of their heart. They were afraid. They were afraid of the Romans, for one thing. They were afraid that if there was another messianic movement, what this would do to the innocent people of the city as Rome came back in and stopped another movement. They were afraid of these messianic statements that were being declared over Jesus. Jesus is not this person. This is not God. That's not God. It's amazing how many people know what God is and who God is, where God is moving and what God is doing. You know, and they stand up and go, that's not God, that's God, that's not. Who are these people? Who are they? The God agents? Are they the God representatives who know all these things? Certainly the Pharisees were like that. But more importantly, John's Gospel in chapter 12 in John tells us this, that Their disciples, the disciples of the Pharisees, were declining. Their ministry was declining as the ministry of Jesus was escalating. More people, and there's nothing quite like jealousy to cause us to be afraid of, well, what's happening to me then? What's going to happen to me? And offense sits within the heart. And that's what Jesus came to deal with, the soul, the soulishness. So, not only does he want us our surrender and our consecration, he wants the removal of the fear from our heart, a fear over situations. There was one person who understood what was happening. And it had taken perhaps certainly a lifetime to learn obedience to this, to understand this. He knew from an early age there was something on his life. God in flesh, Jesus Christ. And when he comes down that mountain slope, he knows exactly what's going to happen to him. But as he comes down, he stops and he overlooks the city, just like when Kevin was telling us about how he saw the city this morning. He looks over the city and out of his soul, the inner part of, he just burst into tears. Why? Because he knew the people who missed the move of God will find themselves in a worse place than if they recognized it. If you do not understand the visitation of God upon your life and upon your church and recognize who he is, then when you get to the end of your life, if you die without Christ, if you die without the good news of Jesus and the love of God in your heart, if you die a man or a woman with huge bitterness and anger and maybe just a total defiance of God, so you turn your back away from God, not towards him. If you die like that, you face an eternal destruction of your life. But if you turn around and give your life to Jesus Christ, then your eternity is with him who gives life, and more than that, he gives abundant life, and you will be in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. And you've got one life to get that sorted out. And here you are this morning in this service, and I'm telling you this, the battle of the soul is huge. And Jesus looks over the city and said, I'm weeping because I can see what happened to you, what will happen to you. And it was in AD 70. AD 70, maybe around about 40 years after the death of Jesus, just less. And Rome came into Jerusalem, and people said Rome would never do that. He would never take the people of God's city. They did. People said they would never take the temple. They did. People said God will not stand back and allow his people to be maimed and killed and tortured. It happened, friends, and that was an absolute destruction. Why did it happen? Because if you miss the move of God, if you say no to these messages that you hear, or your friend's testimony witnessing to you as they have done, or if you follow a soulish life and you cut yourself off from the things of God, then my friends, it's not going to get better for you. It will get worse for you. And there's a call from God to turn around, to repent, and to recognize that God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And he's calling you into a relationship with him. Does anybody understand what I'm saying to you? December 2022. December 2022. I'm smiling because this is a horrible story. And I'm smiling because I use humor inappropriately, as you see. December 22, I'm in a national leadership team meeting. It's absolutely utter boring, right? Have you ever been in one of those meetings at work? And you know, my words, like, Jesus, come back now, please. Yeah? So I prayed that same prayer. Jesus, this is a really great time. Come back, I'm dying. Like, so, yeah? I looked around the room. Everybody else seemed to be enjoying it. I thought, oh, Lord, I'm ready for the rapture. We're not meant to answer phones in those meetings, rightly so. But the phone came as I thought I was being rescued. I thought, thank you, Jesus. And I said, I'm going to have to take it. I'm going to have to take it. Very important. I ain't got a clue who it was. It could have been anybody. Got to take it. Sorry, got to take it. So I went out. That call became the worst call of my life. I didn't recognize the number because it was a wife of one of my pastors. She was absolutely distraught on the phone, weeping. The police had just knocked on the door of one of my pastors and were arresting him. I won't go into the details. It is horrendous. After the call, I came back into the leadership team and sat down. I burst into tears. I couldn't hold it back. I burst into tears. Why? I burst into tears because I knew what was coming. I knew the destruction. I knew what this would happen to the family, to the children, to the wife, to the testimony, to the people in the church. I just knew what was going to take place, and it has done, and it is doing, and it's not over. And the man that I talked to today, well, I don't. He doesn't like me anymore. Person of no faith. And the man that he is today is completely different to the man that I knew. But this man, in his story and his testimony, as I journeyed with him for a couple of years, is a man who did not recognize the visitation of God on many, many occasions in his life to get right with God. The Holy Spirit has continually spoken to you and me throughout our whole life, because directly in contact with our spirit, saying, get right, get your soul right, get your soul right. Jesus went to the cross for it. Get your soul right, bring it into surrender. Stop acting, reacting, speaking like that. Turn around, repent, change your thinking. Come on bended knee, get right before God. The Holy Spirit has been your helper, your encourager, speaking at times very loudly to you in situations like this that make you maybe feel uncomfortable and awkward at times. But the Holy Spirit is wanting you to know. He doesn't want you to get the end of your life and say, I never knew, I never knew. We'll not be able to say, no one told me about it. Why? Because we've heard. And the message is this: if you don't consecrate your life, if you don't surrender your life, if you don't submit yourself to Jesus before the cross, then after, later, destruction will come to you. It will come. God is a God of grace. He's a God of judgment. Jesus came and he took the judgment so that you don't have to. You don't have to enter into eternal damnation, eternal condemnation, because Jesus came into the city and he died for you. You only go to hell if you want to go to hell. You only end there if you defiantly say, my soul, I will not surrender it. I will do what I want to do in the way that I want to do the way. Today, I'm calling you back to your knees, back to your surrender of your heart. You can look like a Christian, you can look Pentecostal, you can put your hands in the air. It means nothing if your soul is operating your life. Amen. So Holy Spirit, Kevin, Holy Spirit, you are here. Don't let any man, woman, young person, don't let them miss your presence. Don't let them miss your presence. Do not let them miss. We know that you've not come as a powerful military leader like the world would see, but you come as a God who surrendered on that cross for us. This is who you are, the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Take away our sin, Lord Jesus. Remove our sin, Lord. Cleanse our souls. Wash us whole. The blood of Jesus pouring from the cross means that we do not need to face destruction. We do not need to face eternal condemnation. But we can have life. We can die in Christ and be secure. We don't have to be afraid of death. Death and sin has no hold over our lives because the blood of Jesus has washed us clean. We're going to pray for people around that prayer. But also, Lord, our eyes have been on man for too long, situations too long, diagnoses, discouragements, hurt, jealousies. Our eyes have been on people for too long, intimidation. Where am I? God, have you forgotten me? I pray, Holy Spirit, that fear will lift from people's hearts, offense will lift from people's hearts today, that their soul will be surrendered in this area, that out of their mouths will flow beautiful words, not ugly words. Break the spell and the spirit of fear, that they may stand as women and men of God who are in awe of you and you alone. You wept over the city. I pray, O God, Holy Spirit, that you will cause tears to fall upon your people. And we begin to learn tears. We begin to learn what it is to cry over Birmingham and this whole area. We cry for our families. We cry for our neighbors. We cry for our friends, our work colleagues. We cry for those who are homeless today, those who are addicts within the city. We cry over the broken, poor, homeless people. God, we cry over this city. Let tears come upon us, because if this city is not saved, this city will face a greater destruction than what it's going through right now. Touch our hearts with what touches yours. Break our hearts with what breaks yours. We give you our soul. We surrender.